T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
9 o'clock, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. No Phils tonight. Rained out up in New York. Doubleheader tomorrow starting at 4:10. I actually think it's probably a good thing for the Phillies after I would say mostly a difficult weekend against the Braves and a tough game last night. Late night game. They get a day of rest and get a doubleheader tomorrow. Nola will pitch one of the games, Chase Anderson the other. So we're going to talk some Phils right now with Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad. And that was, I mean, that weekend packed in a lot, from the Acuna stuff to the slide last night. We got a bunch to touch on. Bob, how you doing tonight?
Joe, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, Bob. Did he touch home?
No, he didn't. I think it was the right call, only in that, you know, I think the way that the replay rules are kind of written out, you talk about, you know, indisputable evidence, and I think it was pretty much like 98%, 99% clear, but there was, I think, a little bit of doubt there, so I was actually not surprised that they let the call on the field stand, but no, I mean, I think if you just looked at it logically and pieced it all together, he probably did not touch the plate.
All right, let's work backwards here, Bob. I thought that win last night was a really good one. I know it's early in the season, but like, they fought last night, and really that game, when the Braves got up, I was like, boy, this has a chance to be an ugly weekend, and they found a way to win that game last night.
Yeah, they showed a ton of resolve, moxie, if you will, in that game. I mean, I think that the way it started and the way that Matt Moore came out, coupled with the fact that they saw only 8 pitches in the top of the first inning, it kind of just looked like a situation where they said, hey, listen, we took it to them last weekend. They had our number this weekend. Let's get on the plane, go to New York, and move on. But come back and kind of show some fight. Matt Moore was not great last night, for sure, but did enough in those second and third innings to kind of buy some time for the offense. And they showed a ton of fight coming back in that game. And I know they got some help at the end there, obviously, but there were still a ton of key hits and key spots. Hector Neris coming out, pitching a great ninth inning. And it was a huge win for this team. And one that, you know, people say it's early, these games don't matter. But when you talk about a team trying to play from behind with the Braves and the Mets in terms of talent, these games do matter, and they do add up, and they're going to probably come into play once September rolls around. So it was a huge win for this team.
Bob, let's talk about the bullpen a little bit. They lose Archie Bradley to an oblique injury, which it's not great, but that hurts the depth in this team. But when it comes to actually, you know, picking who's going to pitch in high leverage spots, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world right now. I didn't love the way Bradley was throwing the ball, and that means we're going to see more Brogdon, more Coonrod. I know Coonrod gave the home run last night, but for the most part, like the Neris, Brogdon, Coonrod, Alvarado, you know, quartet, that's been pretty good, and they're getting a lot of swings and misses and throwing the ball hard. I'm not really that upset that Bradley's not going to be a part of it, because I want to see those guys get a chance.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. They go out and they sign Archie Bradley for $6 million, and he's supposed to be the guy at the end of the game, you know, pitching in high leverage situations that makes you feel better about this bullpen. But if you could pick, you know, between Jose Alvarado, Hector Neris, Connor Brogdon, or Bradley to kind of go out and miss maybe 10 to 15 days, Bradley's probably the guy that you would take at this point, you know, and say we can probably figure it out without him. He's throwing the ball okay. I'm sort of in agreement with you. I haven't been overly impressed by him. But when you look at some of the work that Neris has done late in games, and I've really been a big fan of Connor Brogdon dating back to last season and the growth that he showed down the stretch and some of what he showed down in Clearwater this spring, and he's really carried that over into the start of the regular season. And I think that this bullpen's better equipped to withstand an injury to a key piece, certainly than it was a year ago. I don't think they can withstand too many injuries, you know, and I don't know how many teams can, but I think that they're actually set up to be able to survive his absence, you know, for maybe 2 to 3 weeks.
All right, we're talking to Bob Wankley here at Crossing Broad about the Phillies. They win last night. Dramatic victory with the slide at home plate that Alec Bohm probably never touched the plate, but they get credit for the victory anyway. Bob, as we look at the negatives here and the worries, I mean, center field, we talked about it the entire spring, and it hasn't changed now. It's a black hole out there. Bob, I saw a stat today. Philly center fielders since the start of last season have an OPS under 600. The league average for center field is about 720. I mean, they're not just below average. They're not even close. It's really getting to the point now where it just feels like instant outs when those guys go to the plate.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, Adam Haseley hasn't produced a home run since 2019. Haseley and Quinn this season, I believe, are 5 for 35 combined, hitting 143 with one extra base hit. I had a feeling this would come up, so I did a little research. I mean, you know, there's a reason that we talked about this throughout the month of March, and there's a reason we're still talking about this now. It's because, in my opinion, both of these guys, at best, are fourth, fifth outfielders. You know, I don't think that either one is an everyday player. I think that that's been proven. I know that Adam Haseley is younger, and I think that, you know, you talk about him being a first-round pick and hoping that a homegrown talent can kind of step into this wide-open vacancy that they have, but I don't see it, and I really have never seen it with him. I just don't – and, you know, to be fair, he is young, and I do believe that he can – he is better than what he has shown, you know, between last year and the beginning of the season. But I just don't really see a ton of upside there. And I think if this team hangs around and makes a run, looks like a viable contender come July, you know, we'll look at the starting rotation and maybe adding to the bullpen. But I think that the biggest need is finding a center fielder that can step in. And, you know, I wouldn't be terribly surprised if you know, Odubel Herrera or maybe Mickey Moniak at some point down the line here gets a look, because I'm not overly optimistic that one of these guys is really going to turn it on and take hold of this job.
So, Bob, the center field issue is not going away. We know it's a year where there's no DH against the pitcher is batting ninth. And it brings me to Gene Segura. I know he had a pretty good game last night, had a hit, scored a run, drove in a run, actually got Bohm over to third base in the ninth inning. So good, you know, fundamental job of hitting by Gene. But his OPS right now, I know it's still early, but he's got a 5.06 OPS. He hasn't hit yet. And, Bob, my worry now is if center field's going to remain a problem, the pitcher's batting ninth, Gene on most nights against righties is the seven hitter. It just feels like they have a pocket of the lineup now that is just, you know, a breathing space for opposing pitchers, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, when I evaluated this lineup going back 4 or 5 weeks ago, probably even said this on your show, it was a lineup that I thought had a lot of versatility, a lot of depth, a lot of different ways to beat you. But right now, through 9 games, it really hasn't panned out that way. You know, Rhys Hoskins has gotten off to a really good start, very encouraging start. Bryce Harper, obviously, over the weekend started to heat up a little bit. But, you know, I do think that if you step back and kind of say, hey, listen, it's only been 9 games, there's a difference between taking a guy like Segura, who is not, you know, an offensive force by any stretch, but a consistent player, nice player, can do some things at the plate. I'm less inclined to be worried about his production moving forward than I am the center field situation. I mean, there's not a proven track record there, and it had been a concern all along, and it wasn't productive a year ago. And so I think that there's – when you look at small sample sizes, it's fair, I think, to be critical of what you're seeing in center field, and maybe a little less fair to be critical of what you're seeing with some of the veterans, namely Segura.
Bob, let's talk about the Ronald Acuna. The weekend, he's an amazing player, and had one of those weekends where he dominated in every phase of the game. A lot of conversation Friday night into the weekend and today, especially on the midday show, about how the Phillies approached Acuna Friday night, kind of admiring a home run. Zach Wheeler after the game clearly was not pleased, I would say, as his answer was whatever to a question about if he was bothered by Acuna admiring his home run. Where do you stand on all this, Bob? I know you're a coach. I know, you know, you're a baseball guy. The game has changed over the years. Are you in the camp that the Phillies could have and should have done something to send a message back to Acuna, or is that not the way you want the game played?
Yeah, I actually wrote about this on Saturday, and I pulled a tweet from Joe, and not to pick on him, but really I just thought he did a good job of summarizing the stance. And a lot of people feel that, you know, he took a long look at that home run on Friday night and that the Phillies probably should have retaliated. And if you would have asked me about this 5 years ago, I probably would have had a different answer. But the way I kind of look at this is that baseball has so few opportunities for players to kind of organically showcase themselves. And I think if a guy hits a home run, you know, I kind of like the bat flips and the stares into the dugout and saying, you know, let's go and throwing your hands into the air and getting guys fired up. I think it's a rare opportunity in this game for players to be able to market themselves, to show a little bit of personality, to draw a little bit of interest. And I heard Joe make a point today on the Midday Show about, you know, he likes a little conflict and how conflict's good for the game and it can draw interest. But, you know, my response to that is, what's more sustainable? Guys having fun out there and celebrating their achievements, or a bench-clearing brawl maybe once every 4 months? You know, so I think it's just good for the game. I think it interjects a little personality and kind of brings the game into 2021. And I wouldn't have probably said that about 5 years ago. And I think that what you see from pitchers now too, if you follow, you know, the pitching ninja on Twitter, you know, Rob Friedman and the K-Strut and Marcus Stroman, and you know, pitchers are celebrating now and being a little bit more, you know, showy out on the mound. And I think that stuff's good for the sport. It kind of goes against the things that I was taught, you know, as a player growing up, and the things that you try to kind of instill maybe at the high school level as a coach. But at the major league level, I kind of like it, and I think it's fun.
Well, I generally agree. And look, I'm not sure exactly when the next time the Phillies play the Braves, but I, the way I would hope to get him back a little bit is the next time they get him, right, that he has a tough series at the plate, they strike him out a bunch of times. Like, I wouldn't mind to see a Phillies pitcher get one of those K-struts, right? I kind of give the emotion back at Acuna. And Bob, whatever it is, whether it's conflict with physical conflict or it's like the emotional conflict, I do hope that this thing kind of continues, because I think it's fun if the Phillies and Braves have a little bit of a spark with the rivalry again. I kind of feel it already, and it hasn't manifested itself in, you know, anyone throwing at each other. And it doesn't have to, but like the way the Braves were upset last night, the way Wheeler was upset on Friday, it feels like, and especially if these teams are both good, it feels like we could have one of those summers where the games are intense.
I totally agree with you. And I mean, in addition to the fact that the Phillies haven't been in the postseason for 10 years, that's been one ingredient really missing from their product specifically over the last number of years. You know, you may not like the Braves because you grew up to be conditioned to not like the Braves, and you may not like the Mets because you were around for, you know, 2007 and 8 and back and forth. But those rivalries in recent years really lacked that animosity and that intensity. And, you know, I felt it last week a little bit with the Mets, and I certainly felt this weekend that there was a little bit more edge in these games. And, you know, obviously it comes down to being able to come up with key hits and make pitches when you need to, and that's going to be the most important thing. But just from a pure entertainment standpoint, I'm getting a sense that there's just a little bit of an added element to these games here early on, which could really make the summer intriguing.
It can. Bob, thank you for hopping on tonight. Enjoy the rest of the Phillies off night. We'll talk soon, and I'll be reading Across the Broad. Thank you.
All right, Joe. I'll talk to you soon.
There he goes. Bob Wankel of Crossing Broad. Yeah, you know what? It was funny. That Acuna thing became a big story Saturday, like whether the Phillies will retaliate or not. We talked about it a little bit on Friday. We played the I talked about, you know, Zach Wheeler saying the whatever after the game, you know, on Friday night when Acuna hit the home run off him. I am not one that wants to retaliate for a player celebrating by throwing at him. It's just it's never appealed to me. Now, look, if it was Drew Smiley last night, he's not a hard thrower, but if it's Ian Anderson, right? Ian Anderson on Saturday, if they're throwing the ball up near Bryce Harper's head, like I've never had any problem of sending a message back. I'm not for hitting opponents in the head and trying to injure anyone. I think that's silly, but like there's a point we have to protect your players, protect them physically. Like if Bryce Harper is being thrown at, the Phillies pitchers owe it to Bryce Harper to make sure they're backing Freddie Freeman off the plate to like just send a message like, hey, we're not doing this. Like, so we're just not doing it. You throw it, our guy. We're going to make sure we make your guy sweat a little bit. I like that. I think there's something that like still resonates in baseball with that kind of stuff. But as far as like I'm not throwing at Ronald Acuna Jr. because he showboated a home run. Like that, I get him out. Like if you're throwing at him, you're putting him on base. Like if you're hitting him, you're just handing them more base runners. I think it's almost I always think that is an admission of you can't get the guy out. Like, just get him out. Where do you stand on that? The Acuna showboating all weekend, or on Friday at least, you know, hit him, send a message. I don't, it's like if the Phillies are being thrown out, that's when I send a message back. But I'm not hitting Acuna because he's got excited to hit a home run.
No, I mean, get the guy out. I mean, genuinely, right? Like, if you're Zach Wheeler, I know he's upset, and I'm sure I would be too, right? If you were on the mound and you gave up a home run like that and you got beaten so badly, but you lost, right? Like what are you going to do? Remember Max Muncy? Who did he hit that home run off of?
Bumgarner.
Hit that home run off Bumgarner, and he told him to go get it out of the bay?
Yeah.
I mean...
That's a great line.
It's a great line, and that's what baseball needs, right? When we watch basketball or football, you know, football became incredibly popular a couple of years ago because they reintroduced celebrations after touchdowns, right? They relaxed the penalties on that. In basketball, you have all these outsized personalities. Like Joel Embiid is everyone's favorite player because of the way he celebrates after getting an N1 or you know, a big dunk. In baseball, you're supposed to just tip your cap and move on. And I get it. There's something classy to that, right? Barry Sanders obviously had that in his career. But, yeah, if I'm Zach Wheeler, like, yeah, you should be pissed. But I'm not pissed at the guy for standing there and watching it. You should be pissed at yourself for giving up that home run.
Yeah, just get him out. And, I think there are some people who do not like the, I don't know, what do you want to call it, antics or personality or, you know, celebration of the game today. It doesn't only have to be baseball, but baseball's the one that always, I feel like because baseball is kind of a stuffy sport, right? It's old school, it's tip your cap, it's do it the way the game used to be played. Like, that's the way the game, it always comes back to that. Number one, the game's changed, right? There's a lot of players now who did not grow up playing the game the way it used to be played. I mean, especially in different cultures. If you ever watched the World Baseball Classic, like watch Puerto Rico or the Dominican Republic play in the World Baseball Classic. Watch their crowd. Watch the way they get into the game. Watch the, it's like a celebratory party atmosphere with a game in the middle. So like obviously, tip of the cap, stoicism is not the way the game is played. It is played with a flair and an excitement. So players that grew up there and played that way, that's the way they're going to play. And I also think that, you know, different styles make sports better. If everyone played the game the same way, it'd be boring. And you know what you'd appreciate less? Like, let's say you're someone who appreciated the Chase Utley, you know, stoic demeanor on the field. I say that was, he's your guy, right? You like the stoic player who just kind of tips his cap, closes his mouth, puts his head down, and runs to first base. Well, if you like that player, I think you appreciate that player more when you see guys that don't do it that way. But if everyone played the game the same way, it would be boring. The fact that we have some variety in the kind of personalities we have, I think that makes sports fun. But as far as the Acuna thing, Friday into Saturday, I would not have thrown at him. I would not have sent a message. I do not believe throwing at a player for having success and celebrating it is baseball. I don't. Now, if we're talking about Bryce Harper or Hoskins or Realmuto being thrown at, I do still believe in the eye for an eye, protect your player from the other team. I'm fine with that. That's baseball, where like, hey, they're throwing at me. You know, they're throwing at my best player. My pitcher better go out there and knock their best player down. I have to hit him, but knock him down and make sure we're not playing this back and forth beanball war because someone's going to get hurt. Let's end it here. Send a message. We're not doing this. But as far as Acuna, no, like I would have been upset on Saturday if Eflin went out there and threw a pitch up into Acuna or hit him. Number one, you're giving him free bases. Like you're giving the Braves free bases. Number two, just get him out. Like, the fact that you can't get him out is the embarrassing part. Like, he's owning you. He's owning you right now. 215-592-9494. Where do you stand on that? I heard Midday today talking about it, and you know, Joe was very strong about his opinion on it. He doesn't like that. Like, he wanted the Phillies. He thought Girardi and the Phillies had a chance to send a message, and perhaps they did. But that's not the way. Like, I view baseball as you do something good, you want to celebrate it, go ahead. And I'm not going to throw at you for doing that. But as far as, you know, when it comes to, if my guy gets hit or my guy gets thrown out, yeah, then I'll throw back. Like, then I'll do that. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop aboard. Let's talk to Dan. He is in Northeast Philadelphia. He's on WIP. Hey, Dan.
What's up, Joe? How you doing, buddy?
Dan, how are you doing? I'm good.
Good. Yeah, that play last night with Bohm. See, what happened there was the umpire called him safe because he's looking down. He can't see under the guy's foot. Because Bohm's foot went right over top of the plate.
Yep.
Now, when they go to the replay, it was real hard to tell. It didn't. You couldn't see where he ever touched the plate, but it was so hard to tell. What happens is, if the umpire would have called him out, he would have been out. But the umpire called him safe. The way they rule is, if it's conclusive that the umpire is wrong, then they reverse the call. Otherwise, the umpire's call stands, right?
Yeah, they have to have sufficient evidence to overturn the call on the field. Like, the call on the field takes precedent, even if it, you know, they're right. Not sure if it's right.
Right. Now, you say about the replay, and I kind of agree with your way, but then I think of the plays at first base, where these umpires are so bad that they miss plays at first base all the time. I mean, you'll see a guy that's clearly safe, and they'll call him out, and other guys they'll call out that are safe.
It happens very often. I mean, it's amazing.
At first base, yes.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day, we never thought about this. Like, we just accepted the call. But now, because of the replay we have, we know it right away.
And you know what I think it was? It was payback for the Wheeler game, because that umpire was the worst I've ever seen.
He was all over the place. All over the place, yep.
At least eight times. Wheeler had the one guy struck out twice, and the guy ended up getting a hit. I was so damn mad. I'm like, Jesus. Then the other guy's pitching for Atlanta. The ball's 4 or 5 inches outside. He's calling them strikes. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, it was a bad strike zone on Friday. It was probably the worst one we've seen all year, by far.
These umpires, and it was that game was big. We needed that game. I was afraid of getting swept. If we got swept, that was going to be real bad.
Well, you know what? A sweep would have basically erased all the good feelings those first two series we had. It would have been gone.
We would have lost our whole lead. And Bob was called up Sunday. He was sticking the fork at us. He said, "We're done. I've seen this before." Oh.
Well, my favorite part about Bob is if they win the day before, he's all in. If they lose, he's out. It's the best.
But I was ready to agree with him.
Oh, I know.
Lost that game. It's too early. We got to keep fighting. They showed a lot of spirit, Joe. It impressed me the way we came back in that game.
Me too. No, that was a good. That was a really good win, Dan. I appreciate the call, and I think the Bryce Harper home run is being lost a little bit because the Bohm slide and the play at the plate is we're talking about. That home run was a big home run. And has anyone kind of seen how quietly Bryce Harper started to really come about? He is reached base in every game, and now the power has arrived. He was missing pitches. I'd say the first five or six or seven games, whatever it was, every game was like one or two at bats. He had a pitch to hit and he fouled it off. He didn't miss on Saturday. He crushed that ball to right. He didn't miss last night. He crushed the ball to left. Bryce Harper does this where he kind of just like meanders about. He doesn't do much. He gets on base, walks a bunch. And then all of a sudden he'll go on a weak bender where he just hits five or six home runs. That could happen right now. This is what Bryce Harper does.
His offensive production is a little bit like what Aaron Nola does. Right? You think back to what Aaron Nola did in his last start. He wasn't good, right? But he still went four innings, only allowed one run.
Right.
When Harper goes bad,
He's still walking.
He's still getting on base. He may not be a key cog in the lineup. He may not be the guy driving in runs or hitting 450-foot bombs, but he's getting on base. He's still being a rather productive player. I mean, think back to the last month of last season. He really didn't do much once he hurt his back. Still ended up with an OPS at 975. I mean, he still had a really good season.
Yeah, and doesn't it feel like he really hasn't done much yet until last night, the night before? He has a 965 OPS through nine games. Bryce Harper's a 447 on base percentage. Like that's what I mean. Like, even when he's not doing much, he's on base. He's always on base. So 447, that's excellent. And hopefully the power, as we've seen the last two nights, really starts going. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard. We'll come back. All your phone calls. We'll check in a couple of our polls. And there is one Philly who really has to get going to pick up for some others. We'll discuss that on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!